Well, hello there, folks. Welcome to another episode of Thin Line Believers. We've got Adam again this week. Hey, so I do not have an outline for today's podcast. Okay, so this is your opportunity to switch to an old one. But I just wanted to give you that fair warning that I can't go off the tracks tonight because there are no tracks to go off. Okay? I'm just going to get on here and speak to what's going on in my head. And if that gets a little jumbled up, it's because I have a lot going on in my head. It might not seem like it, and that's because most of it is not pertinent or none of it makes sense to anybody really. Anyway, so with that in mind, here we go. What I'd like to actually start with is an amazing, amazing thing that I got to experience a couple days ago. I didn't get to experience it firsthand, thankfully. And when I explain it, you'll know why. But the fact that it occurred is amazing. And I'm sure you can hear the rain in the background. My shop is not soundproof, so enjoy it. If you're driving, please don't fall asleep, because that sound really puts me to sleep. Gotta love this state. Anyway, so a couple days ago, my brother had another son, and it is a beautiful thing. It's an amazing thing to see such a new life come into this world. And the fact that God allowed my brother and his wife to come together and take part in his creation is an amazing thing. And to see a new life so innocent like that, it doesn't last long, because we're born into sin. And it just doesn't last very long. But it's so cool to see a new life and to, for me, the reason I think it's such a neat thing is because I see it as more proof of God's existence, more proof of God's love. And when you see a new life come out, you're seeing a new creation. Granted, I do believe that my nephew, Samson is his name, good strong name. I do believe Samson was actually, he was life at conception. So that's what I truly believe. Because at conception, he started to grow. He started to develop. And I don't know how that's not life. But moving on from there, another thing that I love about a newborn, about new creation, is just thinking about the fact that that child already has value. And it doesn't have a material value so much as there's an intrinsic value. There's a value that comes not from itself, but there's a value because of whose he is. And by that, I mean Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 26, which says, "Then God said," which, by the way, those words right there are huge. "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image, verse 27 says. "In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." So this is huge. We're not just created, okay? God didn't just take a chunk of Play-Doh, make a mold, and say, okay, That's pretty neat. Here you go, breathing life on you, you know. And which is, you know, thank God for that, because I know that the caricatures that I've made out of Play-Doh would be some pretty horrifying living creatures. Not to say that God couldn't mold some amazing creatures, but instead of just doing that, what he did was he said, you are being made in my image. And as such, you have intrinsic value because you come from me. You come from my image. Therefore, that gives you value. You and I, in Samson, we belong to God and we were created by God in his image. Now, don't get that confused with being like God, because that's what Satan did. That's what Lucifer did, and said, I will be like the Most High. In other words, I will be worshipped. I will be full of, he was full of pride is what it was. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that we have an incredible value in each of us that can be realized through faith in Jesus Christ and through believing in God. When we miss that, it's a path to self-destruction. We lose that purpose. We lose that self-value. And I really believe that as we go through life, if we don't have that, we're going to try and fill that void with all kinds of other things. We were made for God and by God and in his image. And we're supposed to be near to God. We're supposed to be near our Father, because that's where we find our completeness. He designed us to be and created us to be in fellowship with him. And I've talked about it before in the New Testament. When Jesus went to the cross, okay, let's back up just a minute. Before Jesus went to the cross, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed and was in such spiritual and mental agony, and he prayed so passionately that he began to actually sweat blood. And the reason for that, I really believe, is because he knew that when he went to the cross to take our sins upon him, he was going to be out of fellowship with the Father. Because he knew that we were created to be in fellowship with God. We were created for relationship. Relationship that comes from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We were created to have relationship much like that with the Father. And so Jesus knew that that was ultimately going to be, on the cross, he was going to be separated from the Father. And that's what caused him the most agony. It wasn't blindness. It wasn't the people that were blind. That didn't bother him. He healed them. He wasn't afraid of death. He went to the cross willingly. He knew he was going to be resurrected. But in the meantime, he was going to be separate from the Father. Now, if you think about that, think about the things that you and I are afraid of. Many of us are afraid of death. But Jesus was not afraid of death, because he knew ultimately that he would be with his Father. So I wonder if we have that same kind of faith. A lot of us are afraid of public speaking. I can tell you that I'm not necessarily afraid of public speaking, but I'm not good at it. And I've been tested a couple times this week speaking in public, even with people that I somewhat knew, but that didn't mean that it was easy, and I didn't just cruise through it. But a lot of people have a very serious fear of public speaking. Jesus clearly didn't have that, as he spoke on the Mount of Olives, the Olivet Discourse, they call it. He spoke to thousands. And he wasn't afraid of it. He didn't. There was no reason for him to be afraid of it, because he was in fellowship with the Father. And he knew that nothing was going to happen. He knew that he was speaking words from the Holy Spirit and from the Father. So the one thing that Jesus was afraid of is one of the things that I am not afraid of. And that's unfortunate, because I am designed by God to be in fellowship with him. And because of sin, we fall out of that fellowship. But ultimately, that's what we were made for. And our value, it does come from God. So today, if you're feeling like you really don't have that value, and this is a serious thing. If you're listening to this and you say, well, I don't have that problem. Well, good. Good. I'm glad. Because a lot of people, they lack feeling that value. And what they do is, instead of seeking God and seeking a relationship with the Lord, what they do is they try to fill it with other stuff. You know, and I'm guilty of doing this too sometimes. I'm guilty of thinking that the next thing that I buy is gonna be fulfilling. You know, if I just get that new truck, I'm not gonna want anything anymore. I'm gonna be happy. If I get that piece of shop equipment, then I'll be set. Then I'll be good to go. If I get a raise, if I get that raise, I'll be good to go. If I can pay off my debt, man, I'm going to just sit back and I'm not going to have any problems anymore. There's so many things that I look to bring fulfillment, and it's never worked for me, okay? So I tell you, the one thing that has worked for me is when I'm truly in fellowship with the Father. When I'm truly in fellowship with God, that is the most fulfilling thing. And oftentimes, it's when I'm in a place by myself. For example, when I'm driving, there are times, early mornings, I'll see a sunrise. And I don't know if anybody else is seeing the same one, but I believe that God made that sunrise for me. The other day, you know, I was driving to work, and this was after I had received the news of my new nephew. And I was just praising God for this amazing gift of life. And you can see it in his eyes that he's this perfect little innocent child. And I'm reminded again that God loves us. And I'm reminded again of the proof of God. You know, the Bible says that creation points to the Creator. Creation is proof of God. I'm going to take it one step further and say, for me, consciousness is proof of God. Consciousness doesn't make sense outside of a Creator. Energy doesn't come from nothing. Energy has a source. Our car's source of energy is fuel. An engine won't run without fuel. Electricity is created, nuclear power by wind power, solar power. Those are the source of energy. What is the source of my energy? It's not. What is the source of my consciousness? It's not food. You can't just put food into anything and have it walk around. Being able to think logically all these things, the science behind all this stuff that's much smarter than me. You know, people much smarter than me, they understand and they have discovered and figured out the things that make us tick. Of course, not the brain so much. They know a small percentage of, you know, about the brain. And probably because that's our, you know, that's our hard drive right there. But the point is, I really believe that God is the source of our energy. And without that source, we're just a pile of meat and bones, that's it. So I'm very thankful this week that I got a new nephew. And I'll be praying for my brother and his family that that he'll be a man of God, same as his brother and sisters, same as my beautiful kids. That there'll be those who grow up and know the Lord. And I don't really have this parenting thing figured out. I really don't. All I know is that I have to spend time praying for my kids. And I've listened to people talk about how to raise their kids up right. And there's a lot of really good advice out there. But I think unless we're led by God, our kids are going to turn into turds anyway. I guess we'll see as my kids grow. So really my intention with this podcast was, yeah, I wanted to make mention of my new nephew. And I wanted to say what it meant to me. And this is his new beginning. This is his new beginning. And I think with each new beginning that we come to, and John Lennox says it far more eloquently than I do, and with a much better accent. But he says that in the beginning, God, and that is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. And that should be where we pause with everything. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, in Samson's beginning, God created him. This is a new beginning for their family. So in the beginning, God. A new assignment at work, it's probably time to pause. In the beginning, God. Let's put God first in everything that we do. It's a new day. In the beginning, God. The Bible says that his mercies are new every day. It says that this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. In the beginning, God. We have all these opportunities for beginnings. Let's start them with God. Let's fill our lives with God. Now, I wonder if there might be somebody listening who says, well, I'm not really very close to God right now. I don't feel him. I just don't feel the Lord close to me right now. And there could be many reasons for that. I don't know what reason is going to speak to you. There's times, and this is kind of goofy, but from one of the God's Not Dead movies, there was some great advice. When someone, one of the characters said that, I just don't feel God right now. I don't feel his presence. And the response was, very wisely, the teacher is always silent during the test. So, maybe you're at a point of testing in your life. I don't know. Or maybe, such as with the Israelites, such as in the book of Psalms, and I don't remember. It's Psalm 70-something. I believe it's 71 or 72. There was mention that God was not answering prayers. And the psalmist said that they knew that it was because of the sins of the people. When we commit sins, we put up a wall. We put up a spiritual wall. And we need to be forgiven of those sins. And it's as simple as asking for forgiveness, confessing our sins one to another, it says. You can confess your sins to the Lord. You don't have to go and tell a priest. It's the Bible says, confess your sins one to another. Repent, which means to turn around. Sometimes it's as simple as that. Maybe we don't know what our sin is. Maybe we don't know what is keeping us from feeling the presence of the Lord. David said multiple times, search my heart, Lord. In fact, it was several months after David had sent Mariah to be killed so that he could take Mariah's wife as his own, as he had already committed adultery and slept with her, and she was pregnant with his son. But it was several months later before his sin was brought to light by the prophet. So a lot of times we hold on to our sin and we don't let God in, and that puts up a wall. It's not God turning his back on us. It's not him shunning us. It's that sin itself has a power and God is so holy that sin is going to keep him out. So maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's something else. Maybe that's why you're not feeling the presence of God. I don't know. It's for you to explore. It's for me to explore. If we're not feeling the presence of God, it's not because of God. So I kind of got off on a tangent there, but that's kind of what I intended. I had a lot more stuff that I thought I might talk about, but I think maybe we'll reel this in a little bit. So I don't think there's really much to recap, but I think we've been doing this now for over a year. And I want to thank you guys who actually listen to this. I really appreciate it. You know, the numbers actually do show up on our end as far as how many times these episodes have been listened to. And there are several of them that have been listened to over 100 times. And that may not sound like much, but you know, we don't have sponsors. We don't have a huge following. Our intent is not to, it's not to make money, it's not to gain popularity, it's not for any of that junk. What it is we want to reach you folks, first responders, family of first responders, and really anybody at all, anybody who needs to hear the Word of God, anybody who needs some devotional time, we want to reach you. And it's not about numbers. What it is about bringing those people who do tune in, bringing you closer to the Lord, and building your relationship. Iron sharpens iron. This helps me and Steve, and I know there are some of you folks out there that it helps you too. But here's the thing. I want to give you a heads up, because there are some of you out there that I'm going to be reaching out to for an interview. It might be Skype. It might be in person. I don't know. But we have tried reaching out to some folks, and I think I think maybe we've been doing this a little bit wrong in that we've been reaching out to some of the bigger name folks. And I don't really know that that's what we need. Not at this point, especially. We're not trying to make money off of this. There's no reason to look for popularity here. But what we want to do is reach out to folks who love the Lord, who are not perfect. None of us are. Romans says there's no one perfect. There's no one righteous, not even one. But we're going to reach out to some of you folks to interview. Because each of us has a story. You know, in the book of Revelation, toward the end of the tribulation period, I think, there was a group of witnesses. I like what John Corson calls them, the Jewish Billy Grahams. They're basically, they are 144,000 Jewish men, Jewish virgin men, who go around during the tribulation period, the worst 7 years in human history, and they preach the word of God, and they evangelize. And what it says is hugely important to you and me. It says they overcame by the power of the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. So I think we're going to start bringing some of you guys on here, and we're going to start talking about your testimony. Because if Steve and I can do this, you guys can do it too. And I think we have something to share with each other. As iron sharpens iron. We live in the age of social media. When we don't do enough face-to-face, we don't do enough brotherly time. So, here we are. We have a podcast, and that's how we're reaching people. So we're going to bring some of you folks on here too to help sharpen that iron. So if you'd like to volunteer, that would be fantastic. Please get a hold of us. And if you feel the Lord tugging on your heart saying, hey, that's you, maybe you should volunteer. Maybe you should be obedient to the Lord and send us a message, send us an email. DM us on, I think that's what it's called, DM. Yeah, DM us on Instagram. Get a hold of Steve on Facebook. He handles that side. But it's time to start talking to some of you guys. I'm sick of hearing my own voice on here. In fact, I don't even listen to my own podcast because that's just horrible. But I want to hear from some of you guys. And frankly, our listeners want to hear from some of you guys too. Now, the Bible says that Jesus said, he who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge them before the Father. And the opposite of that is true too. So, I'm going to end with this. This is a verse that's actually on my phone screen because it means a lot to me. And it's been something that I've been really holding on to. For those men out there, we're called to be men. We're called to stand strong. Okay, so here's the verse. It's 1 Corinthians 16:13. It says, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. And be strong. All right, guys. Get a hold of us, thinlinebelievers@gmail.com, at thinlinebelievers on Instagram, thinlinebelievers on Facebook. If you got our phone numbers, get a hold of us. I'm not going to put that on here, sorry. And God bless you guys. If you have prayer requests, send them our way. If you need to chat, seriously get a hold of us. We'll meet you for coffee. We'll do what we can to come to you. Unless you're in Florida. Well, unless you're going to pay for the ticket. It's probably sunny down there, as you can hear the rain coming down all around me. Sorry. We'll see what we can do next time about getting some kind of studio, because I know this is ridiculous. All right, guys. Take care.